The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
Hey everybody, this is WWE superstar CM Punk. Welcome to Grammar Slam. Tonight, the difference between there, and there. And it's not just the spelling. All right, right into it. Today's email is from Chip. Sounds like a lovely chap. Hey, loser. Good start. My sister and her fat, dumb boyfriend say you'll get your title back. Any thoughts on how to tell them they're 100% totally wrong? Well, Chip, a couple come to mind. I hate to break this to you, Chip, but there is possessive. You needed to use there, T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E. It's called a contraction. They are. Look, there's three forms of the word, T-H-E-R-E. It's the opposite of here, as in you're not here, you're somewhere out there talking shit to me using improper grammar. And then there's there, the contractions, two words, T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E, which is the f***ing form of there that you should have used. Is there any way to tell them that they're 100% totally wrong? There, T-H-E-I-R, is the form of the word that you use, and it's possessive. It's possessive, as in your sister and her fat, dumb boyfriend, their friend Chip, doesn't know how to use proper grammar. Their friend Chip, T-H-E-I-R, is a complete moron. Their friend Chip is going to get a beating, courtesy of CM Punk, if I ever see him. But I'm not going to see him because he's not here. He's there.
Okay, so let me get this straight here, Jim Williams and Jason Block. If CM Punk is over there, we must be over here.
Yes.
You know, I had an English teacher growing up that, and my cousin Carrie had the same English teacher. This was a guy who pounded his chest like crazy, saying, "Is this something you can do? I can do. We all can do." When it came to finding out what verbs are, this is a guy who literally pounded his fist and broke chalkboards on a fairly regular basis, and he's still tame compared to CM Punk.
Yeah, but down here, people nowadays use whiteboards, not chalkboards. So I don't know what happened with Dad. Maybe
all I know is this: the education system need more teachers like CM Punk. That's all I'm saying.
And Matt Stryker.
And before we properly introduce ourselves, go to the Nerdist channel on YouTube for more CM Punk of grammar, whatever the hell it's called.
It's called Grammar Slam.
Thank you.
There are five or six videos of it, and it was awesome. They are all awesome. They are not safe for work. They are uncensored, but listen to them on your headphones. You will be laughing your ass off. It is really great, and it goes to show you what a total doofus CM Punk is. And by the way, love that positive mental attitude shirt he's wearing.
And to think that was the key there.
And to think I thought he was, you know, just showing love for Mike Trout and the Halos. Well,
unlike the Nerdist channel, which was taking part in YouTube's Geek Week, we are not here. Welcome to the latest edition of the North American Wrestling Connection, as presented by WrestleChat.net. With the two gentlemen I just mentioned, I am Carl Schneer.
Yeah, you're not Nicky Heyman. What's up with that?
We will get to that shortly. Something happened. Let's just say that.
I understand. I understand.
So it's just us three this week. We're pretty much the pinch hitters of the show. They had their turn, and now it's mine.
These changes for the CLW83.com. Never mind.
Let's start off with the top story of the week, though. Oh, boy. Booking. Yeah, fella, I got hurt.
Yeah,
Labrum suffered at Money in the Bank. He worked a few matches, and all of a sudden, no, I can't do it no more. So out 4 to 6 months.
Now, was this as a result of his doings in the ring with a certain returning wrestler, or was this something else during the match?
I think it was all part of the latter incidents. He was hit multiple times with the ladders, and if you remember correctly, you saw the pictures he tweeted of his incredibly bruised legs.
Borderline grotesque bruising, yeah.
Oh.
You know, and what happened was is that I guess the injury just never healed. And he probably got an examination. And this is his first surgery ever, Sheamus.
Yep.
And if the timetable is correct, if my guess is right, surprise Royal Rumble 2014 return?
If it's closer to the 4 months, you're probably right.
Remember, the Royal Rumble is the in-between Super Bowl weekends. You know, they always plan that, right? So,
January, yeah.
If my guess is correct, the Super Bowl is going to be February 2nd at Giant Stadium.
I'm
looking at it right here. So I'm guessing the week of January 26th, you'll see Sheamus come back, you know, as a surprise entrant.
Yeah, it's very happened possible. Before with these people. Remember Edge, of course, and of course Cena.
Yes, Cena Riot.
Surprise entrants who end up winning.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact,
yeah, RVD was a surprise entrant too, but I don't think RVD necessarily came back from injury. I think Sheamus will be one of those, you know, surprise entrants. He might win the whole thing, depending.
He would become a 2-time winner if that does happen. Yes.
To further what you're saying, by the way, the Royal Rumble in Phoenix is scheduled for January 27th.
Uh-huh. It's usually the week in between the week of the conference title game and the Super Bowl itself.
Yeah, right. And there's UFC stuff also then around that.
Fantasy football Pro Bowl, sorry.
Oh.
Yes, exactly. But
another podcast.
There's no BSing here.
There is no BSing here, but let me ask you something. Let me ask you, Carl. This is a pretty big blow to the SmackDown roster.
Yes, it is.
Look, I think this is why maybe Christian got a spot, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much he's their only top babyface at the moment.
More or less.
You got Ziggles in there, but he's, well...
I think for now, I got my own opinion on Ziggles.
Okay.
You could technically throw in Randy Orton in that mix too, although that may change
I don't know. The contract he asked for is for the WWE title.
Well, that's true. That's true. But you see him more on SmackDown more than Raw, though that will change.
Because he can't go live. Why?
Ouch.
Yeah, but slow burn.
But Sheamus, get well.
Comical, sorry.
Yeah, Sheamus, seriously, get well.
Yeah.
You know, we want to see you back. You've done very well in your, you know, with all this stuff. And the fact that you haven't been injured for this long.
4 years. Has been, 4 years pretty much is since when he made his real debut.
Right. Mm-hmm. Outside of the infamous security guard incident with Wade Barrett up in England.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Get well, fella.
Yeah, fella. But one thing I might slow him down a little bit. He is up there in age.
Who, Sheamus?
Yeah, I believe he's just as old as Cena is.
Mid-30s?
Sheamus is 35, yeah.
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 Yeah, he kind of started a little late in terms of coming over to the States.
True.
Very true. You know, always Triple H has been high on him behind the scenes, you know.
And if you have Triple H, you have the world.
See, I'm not calling him the evil doctor like a certain somebody else would.
We'll address her conspicuous absence a little bit later on here in the program.
Yes, we will. But speaking of a certain show, let's get to some of the highlights of Raw now. Here we
the longest running weekly episodic at Gag Me With a Spoon. Okay.
So we're recycling storylines from 1998 now?
I thought there was a 7-year rule, not a 5.
We're talking about a corporate makeover.
Yeah,
this has been recycled God knows how many times. Remember the Mankind corporate makeover?
That's what I was talking about more so.
Yeah.
Well, the Mankind Austin, you know. But basically, it was a beautiful 20-minute advertisement for a really kick-ass shirt.
Yes, I loved it.
Yeah, I noticed a certain champion has gotten rid of his horrible word art short. Rather, 5-second made shirt in the process.
Mm-hmm. Probably the only time you'll see Daniel Bryan slick his hair back in a little ponytail, too.
Well, you don't think he goes to the spa with Brie or Nikki or...
or both, because he's hardcore? Oh, wait.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure you can find that out on Total Meows.
Yeah,
Yeah.
can you believe with the Total Divas, the ratings went up?
Well, people love Trainwreck. Look at the Kardashians.
People all over the world, yes.
But by the way, I'm surprised nobody made the meme. Well, actually, I think somebody did. Mr. Henry might have.
Meme of that, yes.
Not sure if Damian Sandow or Daniel Bryan with hair like that. It's like they were cousins. Identical cousins. Hey!
Yeah, well, that's why I also think a certain thing happened this week on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Why I think a certain wrestler went clean shaven.
Yeah.
Yes.
And someone who got clean shaven, yeah.
Yeah, because I think they had too many bearded wrestlers, and they needed to sort of distinguish.
As long as you don't screw with Daniel Bryan's gimmick, that's fine with me.
Well, he's got a bet going on still with what's his name for the Oakland Athletics, I believe. Charitable beard off bet.
I was thinking of the damn Giants. Brian Wilson still got that beard going?
Now with the Dodgers, yes. I believe he does.
Or Dodgers? Yeah, well.
He looks more like CM Punk myself. Okay. Brian Wilson from the...
Carl doesn't listen to Touch 'Em All, but really, who
Carl's
does?
Been busy the last couple months.
Yes.
Point taken. Touche, my friend.
And when the host can actually put together and take out all bad edits out for me, that's all better in the world.
There you go.
But
I'm amazed you have the time to do this, good sir.
Yeah, barely.
Barely.
You mentioned Damian Sandow. Let's segue.
Mm-hmm.
Segue. Mm-hmm. Looks like Cody Rhodes got his SpongeBob SquarePants going.
Who lives in a briefcase under
the
sea.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, dashing Cody.
Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, my.
I mean, come on.
Well, you know what, though? I have to admit, the blue suitcase, you know, looked like a combination of Sigmund the Sea Monster and the Little Mermaid. But if you looked on SmackDown, which I thought was really awesome, did anyone see the beautiful leather-embossed Money in the Bank briefcase?
I did not.
I will after we go off air, because there's been football going on tonight as we do the...
Oh, what happened was is that he introduced in a backstage segment with Renee Young the new and improved... It's got the Money in the Bank logo imprinted on the leather... You know, embossed in leather, and he said a new certified copy of the contract in the briefcase.
Yeah, so Duvosity takes over and he takes that one again.
Uh-huh.
But I tell you what, it's a damn shame though with that briefcase going under in the river in the Gulf of Mexico. That was the first time I think ever they've actually updated those briefcases for a pay per view, because they've always used the same ones beforehand.
Mm.
You remember the dented one the last couple of years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the red one is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But even so, I'm liking this Sandow Cody Rhodes feud.
It's I think your red herring feud right now.
Yeah, I think it may be the best storyline on that side of the WWE spectrum.
Kind of like Lost and everything else, yeah.
It's going to be the sleeper. It's going to be the sleeper storyline heading into SummerSlam.
Yeah,
and I like the fact on SmackDown at the end after we'll get to it, but Christian defeated Alberto Del Rio and then hit him with the kill switch, and then Damian Sandow said, "You know what? I'm taking the belt." What I'm liking about this, about the belt, and both Money in the Bank players are doing this, it's not about heel face. It's about the title. And they're making the titles important. And that's the beauty of it.
Especially with Sandow, yeah.
That's something that's kind of forgotten to a certain extent, making the titles the focal point.
Yeah. And, of course, I've always said in the last couple of programs I've been doing with certain titles, I have my own feelings.
Okay.
And we're not talking about the top-tier ones. Mm-hmm. Talking about how of a joke some of the lower ones have become, you know?
I
just hope they don't do it with the WWE and the World Heavyweight titles. Please don't do it, WWE. Don't make them a joke.
Don't make them the pretty princess belt is what you're saying.
Shit. Speaking of pretty princesses, let's move on to something else again.
Mm-hmm.
You got some numbers for me, Jim?
Yeah, Total Divas is the show that will not die, sadly. The show, I'm trying to get the specific numbers on the... I don't have them up on me right now.
I'll get them
they're
for
on,
you.
Our sponsor.
They're on our partner site. Yes, I'm trying to get to it. P.S. Brett, get another server!
101, oh hi.
Yeah, because
it was 1.526 million, up from 1.3, and with a 0.7 in the 18 to 49 group. Okay.
What about pretty your awesome. Demo? Well, what about your demo, Jason?
Yeah.
You mean the
55
fact that
plus.
55 plus. Very nice. Well, the thing is though, I could smell setup a mile away. By the way, because I actually do watch it only to see how many situations backstage are either set up or faked. Okay.
That's pretty much the only reason I want to watch it, see what's real, what's fake.
What's your ratio when it comes to that from what you're seeing?
Okay.
Like how much of it do you see as fake? How much do you see as the real?
well... I mean, you know, some people might call it the total work of Divas, but all I'm saying is that I actually think, well, most of it is actually fake, including WrestleChat had an interesting thing about the whole segment this week about Eva Marie going in, because one of the big stories this week was Eva Marie claimed she was a dancer. And wanted to be the Summer Rae to the Fandango. Da, 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 right?
Yeah.
So what happened is that she, of course, lied. So, you know, she comes out there and absolutely bombs. And one of the Total Divas, I believe it was either Naomi, said, if she's a dancer, I'm an astronaut. So according to Wrestling Observer, okay... even though that the Total Divas reality show was scripted, word from Monday's Raw is that Eva Marie is quote unquote passionately hated. It's also noted that the only person who comes off worse than Eva Marie is Ariane. One WWE source, Cameron's an idiot, but everyone in the company already knows that, so it's nothing new. Ouch. Okay. The one thing that was real on the show was the tears by Eva Marie when she met with Stephanie McMahon. The storyline where Eva lied about her dance background in the hope she'd be chosen to Fandango's dancer was fake, but when they started putting the show together, they got word that while Stephanie was always super busy on Monday, she would make time if they would come up with a good storyline for the show. Eva went into Stephanie's office with the idea that she'd done something really bad and that Stephanie was pissed. Stephanie was in character the whole time, but Eva didn't know that, which is why we got the real tears. Some WWE talents were laughing since it's almost impossible to get any time with Stephanie on Monday, but it was played up on Total Divas that it was no problem. Wow.
Is this real or offensive? Yeah.
My head hurts.
Yes, mine too.
all I'm saying to you is that you have a scripted reality show about a scripted television show. Yeah, my head hurts. But
I mean, I'd rather have my head hurting than having my chin busted up.
True. Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh.
See, I'm the master of segues.
Yes, I've taught you well, Grasshopper.
Yes, that's...
You wouldn't
rent your
racket, Jim.
Don't say that.
By the way, that's the reason why Nikki's not here.
Yeah.
Let's get into that. Here we go.
Let's talk about her conspicuous absence.
Yeah, the little someone called Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk, wants to kick someone's ass. And on Raw, a little match was made.
To deal with this matter, one CM Punk will be dealing with Nikki's dear old Uncle Paul in a match scheduled for Raw this week, but it came after a few other events, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Here's what happened. Monday night, CM Punk took on Curtis Axel, which was basically a ruse to get to Paul Heyman. CM Punk really was just like, every time Curtis was knocked down or put into a move, he made a beeline for her dear Uncle Paul. To the point where I believe there was a DQ of some sort, I believe, in the match. And then the Beast, Brock Lesnar, decides to come out and make an appearance.
The Beast? Where Mark Labette was there? Oh, sorry.
No, we're talking a different Beast. Hey, Corey, how you doing? So this Beast decides to again kick Punk's ass, causing 4 stitches in his shin. And if you saw, it was pretty bloody. Okay.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, makes the match all the more intense. Not that it's not intense already.
Well, this surprises you how? I mean, this is Mr. Stiff working up against the best in the world, for Christ's sakes.
Who is also Mr. Stiff.
Yes, okay. We got a couple of stiffies in the... Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, this match brought to you by Viagra. Yeah, okay.
Stiffy for me, stiffy pills.
Yeah!
But, so what happened was that there was a backstage interview where, yes, there was a backstage interview where Brock Lesnar was asked what his feelings were, and he said to Paul Heyman, which was the line of the night, "Say something stupid, Paul," if you remember.
Yeah. I think he botched that.
And I don't think
that was the source. That's all I'm saying. Yes.
And then Paul did say something stupid, which was he's having a match with CM Punk this coming Monday on Raw. And and that's why, you know, we got this frantic, you know, this frantic text saying, "I'm going to Long Island to try and settle it, you know, to try and talk him out of it or do something."
So pretty much a cans that wave moment. So let me get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're here.
That's why we are in the position we are. Right,
the
now.
B team takes over. Now I feel like Scott Stanford. Oh, wait, that's
or
the
Kofi Kingston and Big Show.
Oh, jeez. Well, yes.
Well, Big Show still hurt, man. I mean, he's.
Yeah.
Although Kofi did make a return. We'll talk about that shortly.
You know, but Big Show is rehabbing a hip issue at the Performance Center. Let me ask you this. Do you think, Big Show's over 40, right?
Yes, 40.
Right, he's in his early 40. Yeah.
He's actually, I'm looking at it, he's 41.
41, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this could be a potentially career-ending if it doesn't come back?
Maybe slow down just a little bit.
As soon as I heard the injury and we started going into this, it's the very thought that came to my mind, Jason. What does he have left to prove? He has done it all. Maybe it's just the inner announcer in me. I'd actually like to see him at the table or in some broadcasting capacity. Because, I mean, we see him doing the pay-per-view, panel thing. He does a great job with that. He pulls no punches. He can speak his mind great, as great as ever. he would be an asset to what could be a depleted broadcast team in a couple of years.
And another, along with another certain someone who shouldn't really be wrestling anymore, at least in my opinion.
Mm.
A certain world's strongest, I get injured every time I walk, man. Sorry.
Okay.
I had to go there.
What I was about to just say was that Big Show is actually one of the smartest and funniest guys on the roster right now.
He always has been.
And what I'm saying is that if he's going into the slowdown phase of his career, he'd be a great road agent. He'd be a great production guy. You know, great broadcaster, that sort of thing.
He could, and he gets it that there are different angles he can go. He can stay very much in this business while not having to be in the ring, save for the, you know, guest shot in the ring every now and again. There are many avenues he can travel down, and he set himself up. He has not napalmed any bridges or anything, so he's still going to be with the company, no doubt.
Yeah, he'll find a way.
I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I mean, for a guy who is over 7 feet tall and had, you know, I think that hip issue also had to deal with his weight issues, if you remember correctly, because he's also had many problems going up and down with his weight.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's going to affect, you know, the major joints and the major bones in your body inevitably and invariably, especially when you factor in the kind of impact he puts forth in the ring and outside of it as well. It's father time catching up to him, simply put.
And of course, pretty you remember much. That time with the when he was gone for like about a year or so in between six and 08, he lost a lot of weight.
Yep.
And of course, he came back to get his ass knocked out by Floyd Money Weight Mayweather.
But you know what? Big Show is one of those guys like Kane. He could turn any storyline into pretty much something that'll make him work because he's good on the mic and he's very good physically. And he's and he's also one of the best big men that have ever been in this business. You know, I mean, and I don't mean to be blasphemous. Andre the Giant was one of the first. He was the pioneer. But if you want to talk about a guy who was big, athletic, Paul White, your guy, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
Great Khali doesn't even come close.
Well, there is that bit of a language barrier, too. That's
and plus, he killed a guy.
This is true. Anyway. This is very true. What?
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell the story off air.
Okay.
This was this is while he was training, but news and notes on Raw, pretty much, Cena talks, blah, 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 blah.
And Orton has problems with pronouns, which means he has now been sentenced to 6 weeks of detention or 6 weeks of Grammar Slam classes with CM Punk. Not
sure. Tag team main event with The Shield and those three, of course.
Yes.
And then O'Brien got left to the slaughterhouse after with The Shield.
Because remember, Daniel Bryan's a vegan. I think it's funny about the whole Daniel Bryan's not ready to be championship material thing.
Yeah. I think that's getting funny. Built up really well.
Well, here's the thing. Vince McMahon has pretty much taken the role of Michael Cole, when you think about it. The same exact kind of, you know, nuances and one-liners and so on and so forth. Don't you think, Jason?
Yeah, and you want to know something? He's also taking the role of, you know, I like big guys. I like Batista. I like Brock Lesnar.
Jeez.
You know,
I like Batista that. Said no one ever. Oh, wait.
No, I'm talking about body style.
Yes, okay? I know.
Okay.
Right.
And
I got you.
But in this particular case, every time Vince says this, he's putting Daniel Bryan over more. And it's so brilliant. It's sort of one of those reverse psychology pushes. And he's right, you know. Believe me, if Vince McMahon believed one-tenth of the BS that he's going through, Daniel Bryan wouldn't be on the screen right now. Okay?
What's funny, though, also about it is, and this goes, hey, I'm going to reference number threes. How often is it when you go on message boards or you go on the internet and you find wrestling fans saying the exact same things McMahon in character is saying about Daniel Bryan? How often do we see? We see it all the time.
Sure.
So he's also playing into the hands of the number twos and number threes on the message boards, which is, you know what, brilliant, quite frankly.
Right, and also, Carl, if you remember the promo on Monday night, which was so brilliant by Bryan, he also said, I'll wrestle in an armory. I'll wrestle in a high school gym because I am a wrestler. Okay, as you said, the word wrestler was mentioned more times Monday night, you know, by Daniel Bryan. I thought Vince McMahon was going to have an aneurysm. Okay,
yeah, Jim didn't bring that up.
Yeah, I mentioned that on the NAWC Facebook page, and if not for Grammar Slam, my open would have been a Pee Wee's Playhouse kind of thing.
Oh,
every
gee.
Time Daniel Bryan said wrestler, beaner, 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 beaner.
Yeah, there you go.
There's your secret word of the day. I mean, yeah.
Wrestler.
And what's very interesting about this whole stuff, and this is a big picture thing, mm-hmm. that Nikki and I have been talking about off air, that the WWE over the last year, I would say, is actually positioning itself in such a beautiful way for the future. It's not even funny. Because it's just like with this whole Performance Center thing, which, by the way, is amazing. Okay. Mm-hmm. But look at the people who you have brought up already that are successes. The Wyatt family, The Shield, Big E Langston to a lesser degree, and mm-hmm. people who you're pushing, like Daniel Bryan, like Damian Sandow, like a Cody, you know, in other words, all these people who a year ago, also Curtis Axel, who a year ago were languishing in mediocrity, are moving up. It's taking a while. And I think that is, and I think someone may be right on this, that this is also the Evil Doc's influence.
Oh,
that's a big part. And plus, like you said earlier, Father Time's catching up with a lot of the other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Exactly. I mean,
Cena can't be Super Cena forever, contrary to what some will say. Yeah.
And also, and look at also, you know, right. You also have look at also who the people are coming up in NXT: Paige, Sami Zayn, Sami freaking Callahan. Okay, people like that. They are stocking up the talent, and they're positioning themselves, and it's really fun to watch. And the fact that Daniel Bryan again is at the top is beautiful to watch. And he, you know, it's great. You know, I mean, you've got people of all, you've got the kids, you've got the kids, you've got the adults, you've got everybody chanting just one simple word, and that's yes. And that's it. That's all it is.
It's caught on quicker than what came on about 2001. Jeez.
What?
You know what it is, and you want to know what it is? It's beautiful. It's
a beautiful
it's
thing, yeah.
It is, absolutely.
What might not be so much beautiful, though, let's move on to something that has to do with a little bit of legal stuff here.
And good thing we have Mr. Legalese here, because Stephanie McMahon Helmsley is doing her best, or Levesque, if you will, is doing her best ode to Martha Stewart, perhaps.
Yeah, go ahead. Can you explain to the rest of the folks who might not understand market talk here, Jason?
I.e. me and Carl, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, here's what happened. On August 1st, okay, actually, with the SEC, you have to file what is known as a 10-K, which is the quarterly financial report. Remember, that's where we get all our numbers are from.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What happened was she has sold over 275,000 shares of WWE stock, which netted her about $3 million in capital gains, except for the fact that the timing of it was very interesting because, if you remember correctly, the numbers weren't that good. And they, you know, the stock has gone down since the financials. And some people might be saying, did she get information before the release date? Maybe?
Possibly.
I don't know.
And, you know, if you're, put to you this way, Jason, you're a shareholder of WWE stock, or at least were from Ground Zero.
I am. I still am. I have one share.
And you know how much that share's worth today, right? Less than what you got paid for it, probably.
Well, it was gifted to me, but I will actually look at the CNN.
Welcome to the Nightly Business Report. I am not Paul Tsongas.
Exactly, but I'm
wishing you all the best of goodbyes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh God, I remember you used to watching that. God,
I did too.
WWE stock. Looking at it as we speak. Mm-hmm. WWE stock is $10.20 a share. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what happened was is that on Monday, I mean it's been down about 2% over the last 5 days, and I'm just looking at the actual performance of the stock and the charts here.
Who needs CNBC or Fox Business? We got Jason Block.
Hey, it's
CLWE3 Business Channel. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, because I remember the stock was about $35 when it first came out, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, if you bought in a couple hundred, even a couple of thousand or whatever,
I'm looking at this, a year ago, that's actually not bad. It went down to as far as 839.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it was single digit trading. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and what happened was that the high of it was 11.04 on July 12th, and actually the high was 11.28 on July 18th, and then it's steadily gone down since, and it's now down to 10.34. But that actually isn't bad, because if you remember correctly, it is actually looking on it. It has been looking at the charts here. It's been on a steady climb.
Well, what I was going to ask you is, as a shareholder, you find out this information. Now, obviously, let's assume you have more than one share. I know you only have just the one as kind of a gift. But you find out this information about what Steph has done. What is your reaction to it if you've got a couple hundred shares in this stock and you've been holding on for quite some time?
You go, why is she selling it? It is a little bit on the... It is a little bit on the fishy side, okay? Yeah. Oh, and by the way, before we go on to SmackDown, mm-hmm. I just got to say one thing. Again, talking about the Wyatt family, Kane's preparing for his role in See No Evil 2. I will give you that.
Oh, and then some, because we're going to have a pyromaniac stream. Fire! Cool, yeah, fire.
A Ring of Fire match, yes. Fire, yes.
Yes, Inferno match. First time this has happened in quite some time.
And we thought we would never see it again, but apparently not. Wow, okay.
Why, what do we got?
A heavy message from the... apparently he didn't go with her this time, damn it.
Oh, wow.
That was the case.
On the iPad. Blah, 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 and blah, blah. Who are you three dumbasses?
Oh, great.
What the hell? You know what, dude? You don't know who I am? Nobody knows. I shouldn't say that. You're right.
You sound like a couple of guys from that radio record show.
Don't say that.
Don't say that, GM.
Not the kind of show we do here.
No, yeah, we, as per the GM, yes, SmackDown, what we talked about next, including some LOL TNA news.
Oh, LOL TNA.
Along with Hulk Hogan's bio movie? Oh.
I thought the porno was that.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. Brain bleach. We need a break. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Cut we'll to be back. Fade to black.
47 hours.
Cut.
We're out of here. Run.
how many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.
Okay, I think it's safe to come back, guys.
You sure?
I think so.
Are you sure, sure?
God. With that, we are back on the NAWC, North American Wrestling Connection, with WrestleChat.net, presenting us, of course, Carl and Jim and Jason. Back with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We were talking about inside trading before the break. Now we're going to go talk about SmackDown stuff.
Pretty good show.
Yeah, let's talk really about the opening match. I think, Jason, you're the only one that saw it tonight. Go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, the opening match had a very good match. I'm telling you, Randy Orton, and yes, you can cue baby oil here, has been really wrestling and upping his work rate. And he really, you know, he and RVD pretty much had a really good match. The ending saw RVD go for the 5-star, miss it, stand up, eat an RKO for the win. But it was really good, and no one looked bad at all. I'm telling you, RVD, in the month he's been back, or less than 3 weeks have been back, has been made important, you know, just like that. Love it.
It took him only that long to do it, while TNA took what, how long he was there, like 2 years?
Yeah, pretty much.
Idiots.
Yep, and then we have...
And then with Orton, quick thought on Orton, yeah, the reason why he's doing that is because if he gets caught again slipping, he's out.
Yeah,
he's going to have to kind of keep it up his pace.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, going on now, go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, then we have Miz TV, which Yawn. Was... Yeah, but you know what, it sets up the mixed tag event at SummerSlam, which was... Big E and AJ versus Caitlyn and Ziggy.
Yeah, and AKA now, Piss Break, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Shuck it.
Duck so, it. When we get closer to Pick'ems for that little pay-per-view.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, one question. You said you have your opinion about Ziggler. What's that?
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
I think I took too much brain bleach. I forgot what it was.
You mentioned that we were talking about the top baby faces on the SmackDown side of things.
Oh, Ziggler, yes.
Yeah, and you're like, I have my opinions on Ziggler. Do tell if you do recall.
He works better as a heel to me. I'm sorry.
I'm split. I can't give you an honest tell right now.
It's still he's only been a face for about 3 months. It's still way early yet.
I know.
Right. I mean,
maybe it's just me being skeptical. And of course, he like you mentioned, he's been a heel most of the time, even with the damn Spirit Squad days.
Well, right. And also, it even doesn't even matter if he's deemed technically face or heel or what have you, because the fans go nuts for him regardless.
That's true.
And also remember, he also did an interview with recently talking about the fact that he was really on a roll until his concussion a couple months back, and that really sort of ruined his momentum.
And well, he's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see how he's been booked lately.
Well, you know what? I think. Remember, Ziggler's going to come back because remember. Who holds? He'll get there. I'm not worried.
He'll definitely get up there if Christian gets hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
That's another big question mark. That's just my feelings on the whole matter. You got Christian 1A, Ziggler's 1B. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Sheamus in there as well. And also, don't throw out. You know, Cody's in the title hunt too now. If you want to put it sort of in a.
Yeah.
General sort of second tier sort of way. Because
I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. You going back for a second. Sorry to interrupt, Jason.
Go ahead.
To Carl's point, his concerns about Ziggler as a face, I think mirror mine of Christian as a face, because it doesn't seem like he's as over with the crowd as he used to be. Maybe that's just me.
No, I think you're spot on, Jim.
I mean, could be. I could easily see Christian going, you know, either way. Ziggler, not so much, because they know how much raw ability he has. Honestly, I see them trying to push Ziggler in the mold of a Shawn Michaels, in that he can spot like a champ and everybody will love him. I think that's the vibe they're going with.
Yeah. Makes it easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, it's just one. To me, it's one of those things where... Again, I think Ziggler's one of those guys, like Brian, like Punk, where work rate transcends everything. And he'll eventually get back to the top because he's the go-to guy. That's just me.
Meanwhile, there was a wrestler we mentioned earlier who was coming back from injury. It's like one show he'll do pretty well on, the other one's like, what the hell?
Well, yeah, unfortunately. But you know what? I think they're putting him in sort of this mid-card feud to get him back in there. That's Kofi versus Fandango. Kofi's still looking good, though. You know, I mean, he's back. He looks athletic, you know, with the new longer tights, which is fine. That's good. You know, Summer Rae still looks smoking hot.
Shucky.
Summer Duck. Meow is more like it, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and
Summer Breeze makes me feel fine.
Yeah. And then Daniel Bryan beats the clean shaven
yeah.
Wade Barrett. And that's why I think the reason, as we said before, the reason why Wade shaved clean was to actually look more distinctive. Because look at the people who, you know, you've got with beards. You've got Daniel Bryan. You've got the Wyatt family, especially Bray Wyatt.
And before he came back, he was clean shaven. He just had the long sideburns.
Right, mm-hmm. And then Damian Sandow, you know, so you need somebody, you need less beards, so to speak.
And more full, fresh faces. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we have the trio of dum-dums who are pretty much the jobbers to the star.
As my father, Mr. Block, is so absolutely says, the tankers to the stars, 3MB. Yes, I mean, yes, especially Heath Slater, but this time Kane decides to destroy all of them. Okay. Yeah. In, by the way, the most intense Kane has looked in months, which I'm very impressed with. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Time to steal another storyline idea from way back when.
Okay, which
pick another date when you're going to release the next version of See No Evil whenever it's done. Make him go nuts over again.
Could be. You never know. I mean, it's been 2006, 7 year rule, 8 year rule, you know.
May 19th,
exactly. Yeah. And after the match, Bray Wyatt basically say, "I love that." He says, "I love it." He says, "I'm not afraid of fire. The fire is afraid of me." Okay, it can't hurt me. He's got a secret for Kane that he's already dead, and then Kane decides to go into the pyro and all that stuff. I'm loving this. This is going to be fun. This is, you know what? Bray Wyatt and anyone who chants Husky Harris right now is a dumbass.
Piss off.
Yeah, Husky Who is more like it.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt is an awesome character. The family, the Wyatt family is great. It's another slow build that they got right, again, with that and the Shield and all that sort of stuff.
And I think it was Brian Henniger on an earlier show who said it best, this is the Waylon Mercy angle gone horribly right.
Yeah.
For once.
He's spot on with that, too.
By the way, WWE, and I guess I'm not the first to say this, they're missing out on the golden opportunity marking. Words, Jim. English first. WWE is missing out on the marketing opportunity of the year. The Bray Wyatt Old Brooklyn Lantern.
Jeez.
You know, okay. My father said that the first time he came out with the Old Brooklyn Lantern. Absolutely. You put a little, little sheet mask on it. You know?
Yes.
Exactly.
It'd be beautiful. I'd buy one.
That was just so good.
And if you act now, you'll also get the leftover Daniel Bryan goat mask absolutely free.
Right, there you go.
I should get Pope Peel on the phone. Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
Very good interview with Brock Lesnar. Little tape piece. Mm-hmm. Basically saying that that the only reason why he let Punk exist this long was out of respect for Paul. He says that the corporate morons are calling it the best versus the beast. He's saying that the beast is the best, and you're looking at him. He says...
Yeah, we're not blown up. Sorry.
He also says... He said that Punk is a fake tough guy because he tapes his hands, has some tattoos, and takes some MMA classes at the local gym, which was great because you all know, Punk is a real Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah, he should have name dropped Gracie. Come on.
Okay.
To which Punk would, if he had the right option, to say in response, "You have a vagina."
He also says, what does he have to be jealous of? He says, was Punk an NCAA champion? Was Punk a UFC champion? He says he was impressed about the 434 days, but he says size does matter, and CM Punk will learn what it was truly be victimized by Brock Lesnar. Very good promo, very intense. You know, again, buy rates are going up on this bad boy.
It's going to be a great match. Going to be a great match.
Exactly. Pick'ems will be next week, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm debating. I have two or three options for a wild card that I think might play. So,
before we get onto the last segment of the show, I tell you what, Brock Lesnar must have been borrowing Mr. McMahon's penis and pumping larger or whatever.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
stop.
That's a 2006 joke by DX.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's true.
Sweet. Remember that?
Penis yes, and larger.
You're talking to someone who's been has been looking at the new and improved DX DVD set recently.
Ah, good, yes.
Good stuff.
And then, and now we get to why I think Christian is 1A right now in the terms of baby faces. Go ahead, Jace.
That's right. He had another very good match with Alberto Del Rio. He actually beat Del Rio in a very long, very competitive main event where he beat him in a small package and then hits the kill switch for the win afterwards. And then you put in the 1B feud where and when Del Rio was laying down, Damian Sandow comes out with the leather Money in the Bank briefcase, says he wants to cash in, but Cody Rhodes wouldn't let him. So you could have a main event tag for next week, probably, as a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Christian and Cody Rhodes versus Sheamus and Sandow and Del Rio. Okay, that will probably be the main event for SmackDown.
If only Teddy Long was here to see it and call it.
Yeah. You is fired.
Hold on now, player. This is going to be a tag team match.
Well, that's what I'm gonna guess what they're gonna do just to set up the whole. And again, you're setting up four people in the main event picture right now.
Pretty much.
And that's fine.
That's a good thing.
That's a very good thing because the thing is that with the Cody Rhodes, the Sandow turn on Cody Rhodes, they made Cody Rhodes a main eventer like that.
Indeed. Okay.
And that's the beauty of it because Cody Rhodes deserved to be, they've got the best writers right now. Creative is on a roll right now.
Can't say the same for Ted DiBiase Jr. Sorry.
Well, you know, he can't have everything.
It's probably Cody's best work since Legacy.
I actually think it's the best work since his the Grotesque Mask days.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Grotesque Mask, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Grotesque Mask days. Okay.
And he's come a long way from giving grooming tips. Let's say that, folks.
Yeah.
You know what? And that's fine. You know what? The thing is, you got to build up slow. And the funny thing is that Cody Rhodes, as you noticed, his work was always good. Now you're seeing everybody give everybody else the rub and bringing everybody together.
He's honed the other elements in the ring. Fine. It's always been about his mic work. It's always been about how he communicates, outside of the ring. That has improved immensely over the last couple of years.
And the thing is that I remember a few years ago when you had the Cena Orton year in review, pretty much, and no one cared.
But 2009, I think, yeah.
Yeah, 2009. I was at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view for that crap. What happens is that you have now, the funny thing is that you have believable contenders on all both sides of the brands that you could say, you know what? I think the Usos can take the Shield. Look at the tag team division. I'm loving the fact that the Usos are getting a push. Is it Total Diva related? A little bit. But is it also athletic? No. What?
Yes and no.
But is it athletics? Sure.
Yeah.
Is it long overdue? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got people like, the primetime players. That's good stuff. Okay.
How have they not turned face?
I don't know.
Because they're too damn entertaining not to be face.
And of course, you also got Mark Henry in the mix one last time, Beaky Buzzard.
I guess that was Mark Henry. Yeah, Father Time.
Doing the millions of dollars dance, by the way. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. But I was just like, it's one of those things where WWE, as I said earlier, they've got many people who are entertaining. Remember also last year, I remember Nikki saying that they were building one match cards, the main event and everything else.
Yeah, pretty much. Now
over a year out, Roxina.
Right, exactly. Now you have cards starting from, I think, around Payback time, where four or five matches are at least interesting enough to say, you know what? I'll plop down the money to watch the show. And that's a very good trend. That's been happening, I would say, over the last 4 to 5 months. And that am I wrong, Carl?
You are correct, sir. Since around WrestleMania time.
Exactly. I think
or the after WrestleMania, it, rather.
Right after. That's more precise. I have to agree because ever since that Raw, honest to goodness, from East Rutherford, that's gotten the ball rolling, and I think creative has fed off of that, really. Yep. I mean, they're not completely booking the face heel angle, is just who people want to see more in the ring, regardless of allegiance, as it were.
If they really wanted to do, if they really wanted to do that, Cena would be gone.
Right.
So
yeah.
So anyway, before we end this little fun fest this week,
but the thing is that. Mm-hmm. You have a lot. You said you have LOL TNA news.
Let's talk about what they're now doing with their former pay-per-views.
Oh, yes.
A special edition of TNA Impact Wrestling. Wah!
Oh, lordy.
We had the recent Destination X edition of Impact.
We're getting
Hardcore Justice upcoming this week.
Which will be live.
Yeah, okay. From Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah, and by the way, they really need to do something about it because over the last 3 weeks, actually since Destination X, they've lost 300,000 viewers in the ratings.
And the August 1st warning didn't help them any at all.
Let's see if they can sell out Old Dominion's arena.
No.
Yeah, because Lord knows they couldn't even fill half of the scope, even if the scope.
That's not even a 10,000 capacity arena.
Now I think what is it? It's Sabin, Bully Ray in a cage.
For the title, which probably means Bully Ray will take it back.
Right, and then you've got a four-way dance for the in the Bound for Glory series
for 20 points, apparently.
Yeah,
Styles, Aries, Kazarian, Hardy.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's not that. You know what? Again, it's just, you know, it's the
mismanagement from the top. It's mismanagement.
Exactly. I just wish.
We routinely, and I'll throw Jason in there to a lesser degree than others, routinely throw TNA Impact Wrestling under the bus, not because of the talent. They've got plenty of it. It's the way it's used and misused and abused, you might say.
And also, and by the way, it is, of course, team versus team, Main Event Mafia versus Mace versus the Aces of Eights, you know.
Loser
goes to Razor. The loser is gone from TNA, and loser goes to rehab. No, I'm sorry.
I think you know who's going.
And I said no.
And then you also have... Bound for Glory, as you said, the last match advertised, Knockouts Tornado Tag Team Match, Mickey James and Gail Kim versus Velvet Sky and ODB, plus other people and all that sort of stuff. But you know what, as you said, it's so much mismanagement.
We'll see if Bischoff can somewhat turn it around now that he's creative head now.
Well, considering what you just said...
Well, he just took over.
Well, you just answered your own question, though, I think. It's Eric Bischoff.
Well, maybe he'll do a much better job than whoever the hell did it last.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. Just hold on. Get this. There was one other thing. Another more Laurel TNA interesting, and this is from TNA Insider Podcast. ProWrestling.net, and again, this is from WrestleChat, posted yesterday. Jason Powell spoke about the current situation at TNA during the August 6th PWTorch.com live cast. He indicated that many people in TNA feel Hulk Hogan and Sting need to go. Hulk Hogan and Sting's contract expire at the end of the year. The feeling of TNA keeps both Sting and Hogan, people will lose all hope in the company. And Powell also said TNA is not done releasing talents, but that TNA officials are waiting for some talent contracts to expire to release them one at a time. Yuck.
Yeah, now, get ready for the fire sale, or fire release, if you will.
Well, yeah. And also, regarding the TNA creative story, he is also continuing his role in production. He's more or less a supervisor, and the people who are writers are Matt Conway and Dave Lagana, but he is in charge of TNA Creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in charge, hint, hint.
Yeah, exactly, okay. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think Hogan's going anywhere.
No. And yes.
Well, Hogan may be going somewhere. You see.
Oh yeah. Final story of the week.
Straight to the big screen.
He wants to develop a biopic of his life, and
TNT was on this.
Yeah, and have his son star as himself.
Oh, Lord. Some of the comments on TMZ are both wrong and spot on at the same time, if I may read one.
Sure.
Oh, I've got it up right now. One of the big ones, is the movie going to include his whore ex-wife with her 17-year-old boyfriend? And include Nick's friend who is now a vegetable and who was a U.S. Marine before meeting Nick? Is it going to show Hulk rubbing suntan lotion up Brooke's thigh almost to her crotch? Why would he want to embarrass himself even more than he has? Your 15 minutes of fame are up, and so is your nasty families. Let sleeping dogs lie, Hulk. Your era is done.
That's the top comment on this page here.
Top comment, and I have to say, can't say anything wrong there.
Nope.
Sad to say, another person, my first thought was yawn, and then my second thought was gross. Please don't bother. I mean, this is the case of an insatiable ego not knowing when to say when.
Here's another one right quick.
Yeah.
I am confident this movie will have the same effect as 20 milligrams of Ambien.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, go ahead, Jim.
Well, no, I mean, what it comes down to, it's a guy with an insatiable ego who doesn't know when to back away from the spotlight. It's the equivalent of a player in the NFL staying too long and staying past his prime. If you will, Ricky Henderson, only far worse than Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
Ricky Henderson at least still had some redeeming qualities when he was playing at age 48 or 49 with the Mets some years back. It's in many respects, it's, you know, despicable, but it's also quite sad by the same token. I've referenced the, and I hate to do it again at this portion to keep everything parallel, but the Hulk Hogan porno thing that leaked out. And you know what? He probably deep down is glad that it did leak out because it gave him publicity. And for him, when he has the mindset that he does, any publicity is good publicity to him. Which is sad, and it's not true. There is such thing as bad publicity. He just doesn't realize he's been getting it for about 15 years at least.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, and I'll just end it with this. The fact is, I don't think his son learned his lesson about the auto accident. I really don't.
No, he didn't, Jason. You're right.
And this glorifies his son. If they go through with this, it glorifies somebody who should be behind bars. That's
pretty fine.
That's all there is to it. I mean,
yeah.
I would never watch this. I wouldn't even do the illegal stream. Not that I do that thing in the first place.
We don't condone it either.
Well, we don't condone it. CLW 83 cares. I wouldn't give this the time of day. And I say we drop the subject at this point.
Yeah. Let's put the lid on this for the week. Let's go ahead and do some plugging.
That's what she said.
Hey, Jason, what did y'all do last weekend with a certain podcast with a game show and reality talk?
Yes. We recorded a new episode of WLTI Live with a contestant who will be on The Chase this week,
yes.
Christian Carrion. And hopefully, crossing fingers, we might be getting somebody this week because we are actually going to be doing our review of The Chase. More about Who Done It, Racist House, a.k.a. Big Brother.
Yeah.
which, by the way, has now gone into Disgusting Pervert House.
Jesus.
Hey, you did not hear this, okay?
I hear nothing, I see nothing, don't see.
Well, let's just say one contestant who was still in the house made pretty much a joke about something you should never joke about. And, let's just say two words for you, child pornography.
Oh, God.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and we are going to talk about that.
Must be obsessed with Courtney Stodden, I don't know.
I have a feeling this show may just get canceled because of this season.
I don't know if it's going to get canceled, but I do know that they're funny thing is that it wouldn't because if the ratings are actually higher.
Which is sad.
That's a sad thing.
Because people want to see the train wreck. And it's disgusting because you don't want to – you're looking at characters, quote-unquote characters of people you want to root for, not root against. And it's just going to be very interesting to see. Of course, Brian, Ivy, and I will be recording Pixel Nation. And we're actually going to be talking about something where, believe it or not, there is a limited edition game for $1 million. I'm not kidding. Yes, $1
million.
Pinky to corner of mouth.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, yes, exactly. And other stuff, and including the troubles with the Wii U, and of course, hopefully we'll get a red state, blue state in some time, depending on all the schedules of everybody. And that's
everyone's
about it.
Everyone's schedules all screwed up, especially mine.
Yeah, there you go.
Because as we record this, WLTI Live is still in the editing process, and I should have it done, hopefully, before it crashes. Hopefully. We'll see.
All right. No problem. No worries. No rushes. We're just going to
Well, I did get most of everything else caught up. All your whodunit recaps are on the site now.
Cool. Excellent.
And so are a few other things. Like, Jim, you bring up the next thing.
Well, Jason and Mike McShane of Frat House Sports join me on an Extra Bases special edition of the Touch 'Em All podcast, where we give our 2 cents and then some on Alex Rodriguez and the other players involved in the Biogenesis PED scandal. Suspensions were handed out Monday afternoon. We actually took Joe Girardi and Alex Rodriguez's press conferences from Chicago that day and incorporated them live into the recording of the podcast. Lots of interesting insights. It's really a good listen. We want you to take a listen to that. And we'll do another Touch 'Em All podcast another week or so as we get ready to go into pennant chase mode over the course of September. A lot of really good races on the field. A lot of competitive baseball being played. I think 4 divisions of the 6 are really up for grabs at this point in the season.
National League East is pretty much done.
It's been done since forever. Yeah.
Oh. Go ahead.
Atlanta can sleepwalk their way through it. I mean, the AL East is competitive. The AL Central is somewhat competitive, though the Tigers have proven some separating ground there. The AL West between the Rangers and the A's is going to be a fun race to watch. In the National League West, the Dodgers are starting to take control. The NL Central is probably the best race in baseball because the Pittsburgh Pirates are staying in it, the Reds are still in it, and the Cardinals, you don't know what you're going to get with Molina out for 15 days. So,
oh, boy.
And by the way, the Pirates are what, 11 or 12 games from their first winning season in like 20 years? Is that right?
1992. And you know what? And I'm a Philly fan through and through, and I should hate the Pirates, and I have disdain for the Pirates. I don't truly hate them. I want this team to do well. I want this team to go and win the division. I want them to go all the way this year. It would mean so much to that city, a city that hasn't been baseball relevant since Barry Bonds pre-juicing. At least I hope it was pre-juicing. So,
yeah, you were small back then.
You know, and by the way, love Andrew McCutchen. Stud.
Oh, Kutch is clutch.
He's become a stud on that team.
Kutch is clutch.
The stud, yeah, clutch and stud. There you go.
There you go.
Meanwhile, the two of us and others will be doing what will become the weekly again editions of the BS Big Show starting this week. Training camps are opening up. We have some preseason that was happening last night. Ant and I will record. Let's just say for our teams, a lot of work needs to be done, huh, Jim?
Well, secondary sieve for the Eagles and
defense still not there for the Saints. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although we won.
Yeah.
After beating the crap out of Ricky Stanzi for a little while.
And this just in, Tim Tebow butt fumble. Okay.
Oh, God.
So Jets lost 26-17
to the Lions. Yep. Yeah. We'll talk about that. Once we get off, I haven't caught the first episode yet of the new Hard Knocks, and I'm going to try to catch it before I go to sleep and kind of recap what happened there because you can't find it online. What the fuck, HBO?
HBO Go, you are not the real.
It ain't on there. So, yeah, we have that. Also, there was something else we did during this little chase thing Jason mentioned.
Oh, yes, which is now the debut of the Chase Cast.
Yes. Something else that will be debuting this week.
which was so much fun.
Yeah, it was so initially going to be just a Game Show Garbage production, but now we're going to combine both that and Game Show News Net for the next 7 weeks.
7 weeks, or it would be six, because they got 8 new episodes, right?
Or yeah, six, whatever. Maybe a 7th week to kind of recap the whole series. Mm-hmm. Then do it again once we have series 2 of that show.
Beast is 1-1. That's all I can say.
Yes.
Yeah. Just keep watch the weekend airings if you want to, folks.
Yes, and Corey, congratulations again. Just saying.
Yes.
Just saying. And
you mentioned somebody else is coming up on this week's show, so this will be fun.
Yes, Mr. Carrion. Yes, and because of his appearance, I'm getting a board game from him. Hooray!
And that is pretty much it. I have nothing else to plug because I'm right here and you are there.
That's proper use of the word. Wait a minute. Spell it.
Okay, $1,000 B.
No, spell there.
G-R-E.
That spell, Wang.
Yes.
But while we are here, you are there listening to us, and we thank you for
everywhere.
Listening.
Everywhere.
All around the world. Anyway, next week we'll have the pick'ems for SummerSlam, and hopefully Nikki will be back in tow. So for Jason and for Jim, I'm Carl. We hope you folks have a good weekend and enjoy your week leading up to SummerSlam. Good night, folks. Thank you very much. We are out of here.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.